Chapter 15, Comfort Those. Comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. 2 Corinthians 1:4. Let me begin by assuring you that basically all the principles in this book will help to restore your marriage, whether your husband is abusive or has a drinking, drug, or pornography problem. Most of the women who come to our ministry are dealing with adultery and one or more of the sins mentioned above. When women come to us, they want to know, how can I deal with and overcome the destruction that has plagued our lives for years? How can I possibly make it through this pain and this mess? The answer is by seeking wisdom and truth. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. My heart's desire is to share the truth with you in order to set you free. It says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. Dealing with your husband's sins. If your husband is in any sin, how should you, as his wife, deal with it? Not as the world does. The world's way bring about destruction, but God's principles will bring victory. Here is God's prescription, straight from His Word. Without a word. As we learned earlier, the Bible is clear that we are to reverently keep quiet and not to talk to our husbands when they are disobedient to God's Word. That's from 1 Peter 3:1-2. Do not make the mistake of talking to your husband about his sin. Talk to God only. Also, I would urge you not to talk to others about it either. Two things happen when you do. First, it puts us at odds with the Lord, because it says, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. Psalm 101:5. Secondly, when you uncover his sins and weaknesses to others, it makes it almost impossible for him to come back and repent. When everybody in the church and all your family and friends know that he has been living in adultery or some other sin, you have made it impossible for him to come back. We're not to confess someone else's sins. Confessing your own sins is very difficult from revealing someone else's. It also brings about its own curse. In the verse it says, Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. So he said, curse be Canaan. That's from Genesis 9:22-25. This verse confirms the principles that we read earlier in Proverbs 101:5. We are told not to slander anyone. Nevertheless, I am keenly aware that it is very difficult to keep all that you are going through a secret. That is why we are told in Matthew 6:6-2, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you have no one to talk to, you have to pour out your heart to God alone. He is the only one who can really change your husband and your situation anyway. But when we tell everyone who asks or will listen, when we talk on the phone for hours about it, or even pour it all out to our pastor or counselor, we fail to use that urgency in our prayer closet. I encourage women to do what works. I know personally that this works, and any other solution does not. Fast. The greatest way to free a husband who is in bondage to sin is to fast and pray for him. It says, is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Isaiah 58:6. There is more on fasting in chapter 16, Keys of Heaven, that you need to read. Overcome evil with good. The other way is to overcome the evil by doing good. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. The Bible does not lie. Though the experts of today tell you that you are enabling the person who drinks, takes drugs, etc., by being kind and loving, Scripture tells us the opposite. Which will you choose to believe and obey? Love is one of the most powerful weapons we have and is guaranteed to work. The Lord tells us that is how we are to deal with our enemies or those who hurt us. Loving your husband right now, right in the midst of his sin, is truly overcoming evil with good. Proverbs 10:12 says, love covers all transgressions. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins." 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, "Love never fails." 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, "See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men." Romans 12:14 says, "Bless those who persecute you, and bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men." Jesus said these words in Matthew 5:44 through 46. "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers or sinners do the same?" Testimony: she told her husband to get out. A woman came to restore a ministry who was angry, resentful, and bitter. She had searched everywhere for help, support groups, counselors, and many books in order to solve the problems she was having with her husband, who she said was an alcoholic and a drug addict. She had had enough. She had thrown her husband out of the house, as she had done a couple of times before. She had been following everyone's advice. Unfortunately, nothing seemed to change her situation, but inevitably things got much worse. What she learned from our ministry was different from anything else she had ever read or heard before. Finally, she said, she had heard the truth. She said she was finally learned that the reasons for her problems were altogether different from what she had been told repeatedly. She told us that she had been so totally indoctrinated in psychology and unbiblical ideas that she no longer could discern the truth. When she read the principles, the Word of God became a sword cutting through to her very marrow. She learned about the danger of ruling over her husband, as when she had told him to leave the house. She learned the right way to win a disobedient husband, without a word. She learned how to deal with a man who was bound to the sin of alcohol, to fast and pray for him. She learned that a forced separation encourages adultery and would always exaggerate her trials. Within 1 week, she looked up every Bible verse listed in this book and marked them in her Bible. To her astonishment, she could find no scriptural basis for the action she had taken with her husband. She even called her church and begged them to show her that what she had been doing was really correct. She said she needed to discredit those scriptures she had read in this book. They could give her no scriptural support. They just encouraged her to keep her husband out of the home and not allow him to return. In all her confusion, pain, and anger, this woman really was searching for the truth. She finally asked her husband to return home. Then she gave him the respect as the head of the household and spiritual leader for the very first time in their marriage. The rebuilding of their home was not easy nor quick, yet it was always stable. Her husband later confessed that he had been planning to commit adultery after she had forced him to leave. Her husband has been home for over 9 years, drug and alcohol free. He is even a deacon at a large church. Testimony: husband delivered from alcohol. A woman contacted our ministry. She had hit the bottom with her husband's drinking. She had tried applying every method she had read for wives of alcoholics, yet she found that every recovery was only temporary. Their marriage was falling apart. They had become estranged. She felt that if he really loved her, he would stop drinking. However, her husband was convinced that she no longer loved him because of the way she was treating him. He said her ill treatment only made him drink more because he felt things were hopeless. She told us that she did love her husband, but all the books said to withdraw from him because they were codependent, and she had become his enabler. She told us that she had tried everything and was ready to give up. We encouraged her to seek God. She said that she had tried that. She said that she had gone to her pastor who confronted her husband, but that only made things worse, and he left the church. When she finally reached the end of herself, she cried out to the Lord. The next morning, she met a woman who had a restored marriage and who agreed to pray for her. Just 2 weeks later, when she thought her husband was at work, she got a phone call from him. He was at Teen Challenge seeking help. This woman's husband came out 3 months later, a totally new man on fire for the Lord. He became the spiritual leader of their family and active in their new church. Ladies, you can try everything, but when you do, I promise you will only make matters worse. Try God alone. Go after God. Trust Him, and He will change your situation in an instant. Do not provoke them. Scripture warns us, do not harass them or provoke them, Deuteronomy 2:19. When you provoke someone who is under the influence of drugs, alcohol, or the seduction of an adulterous woman, you put yourself in grave danger. Proverbs 18:6 tells us, a fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. If physical violence has become a part of your marriage, you need to heed this Bible verse and make sure that it is not occurring because of your disrespectful attitude and the words toward your husband. God warns women not to even speak to a husband who is being disobedient to the word and to make sure we are silent with a respectful attitude. See 1 Peter 3:1 and 2. God also tells us in Ephesians 5:33 that the wife should see to it that she respect her husband. So often, after you verbally attack your husband's character, someone takes a swing. Often it is the woman who hits first because she is so hurt by something her husband has said. Unfortunately, after the first punch, physical violence has become the norm. And once violence is brought into a home or marriage, it becomes a major part of the destruction. Testimony, in her own words. I read this testimony in Crown with Silver magazine. I'm reprinting it for you with permission from Crown with Silver and the writer of the article. This is her story. The following story is, I hope, an encouragement to others who may be in the situation in which I found myself. God has many ways of reaching people, and my story is one which may cause the hardening of the heart to call me raca or fool. But the Lord reached my husband through some very difficult circumstances. I ask, dear sisters, that you don't place my name at the end of this article, for I am concerned that my husband would not receive the honor that is due him in the eyes of my children if they read this. My husband and I grew up in a community church and married as high school sweethearts. I was always a stay-at-home mother, and my husband was an automobile mechanic. We were from very different types of families. He grew up with four brothers and two sisters. I came from a family with just two girls. His family members were always loudly arguing, debating, and throwing a punch here and there when they were making a point. My family was very quiet. When my sister and I argued, we did it silently and maliciously. We wouldn't use words to get back at one another. We would do something to get even. At the beginning of our marriage, we were baby Christians, but I had a thirsting for more of God. My husband was content right where he had been for 23 years. He had made a confession of faith and knew he was heaven bound. That was good enough for him. I, on the other hand, knew that there had to be more. I knew that God was enough to sustain me through the rest of my life, and I wanted to live a life different from the world around me. We struggled financially. With the birth of our first daughter, we were barely making it in our one-room apartment. My husband was like a tightrope. I tried to keep the baby quiet in order to make life more peaceful and less irritating to him. Our relationship was better during the weekdays because he wasn't home that much, but we fought on the weekends. And then I would start my old tactics that I used growing up on my sister. I wouldn't fight back or yell or scream. I would simply get even. When we were arguing, I wouldn't make dinner or I wouldn't do the laundry for a week and he would have to wear dirty clothing. I'd do something that I knew would get under his skin, but it wouldn't be something that he could actually point his finger at me for. I could always get away with it because it wasn't blatant. Life went on like this for some years. We had two girls back then. And then that tightrope that my husband and I were walking on snapped. One Saturday, we were arguing about how we should spend the extra $20 out of the paycheck. My husband wanted to go to the ball game. I wanted him to take us out to dinner. He yelled that he had worked for the money and he deserved a little time out for fun, and he turned to leave. So I gave him a little shove with my elbow. I think all the built-up pressures from all the arguing and strife that was constant in our life somehow brought back his interaction with his brothers. He immediately lifted his arm and socked me back in my arm as hard as he could. Never had I seen so much fury directed at someone, me. The pain of it. I think that it wasn't the physical pain so much as the emotional and spiritual pain. See, I had been trying to grow in the Lord in all areas but my marriage. It was torture to read the scriptures, which talked about how the Lord is the bridegroom and we are the bride, and somehow our marriage was supposed to be an example of our relationship with Christ. That was horrifying. If my marriage and the relationship I had with my husband was in any way related to my relationship with Christ, I was in big trouble. I think that once the restraint was gone, the taboo of hitting your spouse having been broken, my husband felt hopeless. More and more fighting would break out like this. I would try to hide it from the children, but sometimes there was no way to do this. I think this hurt me more than anything else. Proverbs tells us that children's fathers are their glory. If fathers were supposed to be their glory, then my children must have felt betrayed and distrustful of all things, even God. As they were being taught the scriptures, they were going to come to distrust even them if something didn't happen to heal this broken marriage. And yes, even though my husband and I were married and not divorced, we had a broken marriage. I never told any of my friends at church what I was going through. I did tell one of my closest friends that my cousin had been going through certain things in order to get some advice or to talk through the issues. But all the advice this friend gave me was that I should leave the monster. She said that there were names for this type of treatment and that only a fool would stay with such a man. But there was one problem. It was a vow I had made to God a few years back that I would stay with this man through sickness and in health, through the good and the bad, until death do us part. And even though that I felt that there was absolutely no love left in my being for this man I was married to, I still loved God. I loved God with every fiber of my being. I loved him so much that I would not break my marriage vows, which I had said before him those 7 years ago. Staying with my husband was a commitment I had made to the Lord the day we were married before him. I turned to my Heavenly Father. So many times in the past, I had turned to secular advice and reading materials. I listened to my friends badmouth their husband and so on. I knew that the only way I was going to get any help at all was by seeking the Lord and finding him and his help. The Lord revealed truth to me in some very basic ways. I needed to stop blaming my husband, as the world tells us to do, and look at the things I was doing wrong in my marriage. Putting aside the hatred, anger, and resentment I felt for my spouse, I decided to replace those emotions with forgiveness, understanding, and love. I repented of getting even in so many ways in order to make my husband miserable, and the Lord started changing me. There was so much more to tell, but let me only say that God is in the changing business. If we yield our whole lives to him, he is there to guide us through our darkest hours. I've been married for 21 years now to the same man. Well, he isn't the same man, as he gave his whole life to God as I did about 11 years ago. Just as he had felt the resentment and hate oozing from every pore of my being, so did he start feeling love and forgiveness flowing towards him. Now we don't argue as we used to do, for both of us love each other so much that we want what the other person wants. We no longer put ourselves before the other's needs. God is wonderful. See, the Lord changed me first, and then he changed my husband. But it was the Lord who did the changing. Testimony: hide me under the shadow of your wings. Elaine had suffered so much abuse. From the time she was pregnant with her first child, her husband had repeatedly enraged, abused her. She had tried everything, shelters, friends' homes, going back to her parents, even law enforcement officers. Nothing was permanent. After her husband's violent explosions, he would become repentant, remorseful, even kind to her. He would seek to try and make it up to her. He would plead with her to please forgive him. Being a Christian, she would, but all too soon, he would again become violent. After 3 children and no hope in sight, she thought of taking her own life. But how could she leave her children with this violent man? She couldn't. She would have to take their lives as well. But murder? She had thought several times about killing her husband, especially in the midst of his attacks. But how could she, a Christian, think like this? Then one night, when she went to a prayer meeting at her church, there was no altar call, but Elaine walked slowly to the front of the church during the last song and left her burdens there. For the first time that she could remember, she gave the entire situation to the Lord. She heaved tears of pain at the foot of the cross. She gave it all to him, and she surrendered. Lord, if you want me to stay with this man, I will. I will never try to run away again or to seek help. I accept this life you have given me. My children are yours. Do whatever you will with all of us. Elaine went home relieved that things were finally settled in her heart. The next day, while her children were at school and she and the baby were grocery shopping, God moved in her life. Her husband left his job, came home and packed his things. Elaine's husband disappeared that day. That was over 21 years ago. Elaine is still legally married to a man she has not seen or heard from in over 2 decades. Her children are all grown, and her youngest daughter has just married. She and all her children have a close relationship with the Lord. Elaine still lives hidden under the shadow of his wings. Psalm 17:8. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. Revelations 12:11. Elaine was not her real name. For many more powerful testimonies, visit our webpage at www.restoreministries.net. Personal commitment to overcome evil with good. Based on what I have learned in scriptures, I commit to renew my mind in God's truth. I will bless and pray for those who persecute me and will overcome evil with good. I will trust the Lord and His protection rather than the arm of the flesh. If you agree with this statement, date and sign this book. This is the end of chapter 15.